And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. And with me tonight, first-time guest on the Ding, we have Wes Goldberg. Wes, what's up, man?
What's going on? Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you could be here. We have no time to waste because we have 13 games of pure mayhem tonight. We start tonight in Miami where the Heat beat the Bucks 113 to 104. No Bam, no Jimmy, and the Heat still get this done. How did they do this, Wes?
Yeah, I mean, they got it done with their depth. And this has been a Heat team that's sort of been reeling a little bit with the losses of Jimmy and Bam. It's been several games now without both of them. And then they get Jimmy back for, you know, a quarter of the last game. And then he goes back out with the tailbone contusion. So they've just been sort of trying to figure it out on the fly. And Eric Spoelstra said, like, look, they need to be more organized. He needs to be more organized. And I think they went into a really, you know, heavy film session on Tuesday and then came back against a team that they always are pretty motivated to play in Milwaukee. So you get the typical contributions from guys like Kyle Lowry, but you got really big contributions from these depth pieces. You got Caleb Martin having 17 of his 28 points in the first half. He's basically carrying that offense for the whole first half. And then in that second half, you're getting 16 points from Kyle Lowry in the third quarter, 16 points from Max Strus in the fourth quarter. They're running these dribble handoffs for Max Strus. They're getting Caleb Martin in these catch-and-go type of situations. It just felt like they were firing on all cylinders, and they got back to the basics of who they want to be, which is, you know, good passing. They assisted on 32 of their 40 made field goals. They won the rebounding battle for, like, the first time in what it feels like 2 weeks for them. Over a big Bucks team, and you know they did what they had to do, and they got the job done against a team with Giannis.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was like all the unlikely candidates in double figures. You got double figures from Strus and Apala and Caleb Martin, but then you have guys like Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson in single figures. It was just a weird game overall. It's also weird seeing the Bucks lose when they have Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Jrue Holiday in the lineup. All of which played pretty well outside of Giannis. Giannis really struggled, not only struggled from the field, but struggled from the free throw line too. It seemed like he was kind of walking gingerly a few times during that game too. So maybe that had something to do with it, but it was just kind of an odd game in Miami. Yeah. and a good one for Miami to get, because it's a good Miami team missing good pieces, and to show that, you know, this is a very signature Kyle Lowry win. Like, this is what the Toronto Raptors kind of built their records on, was winning games like this.
Yeah, and I think it's notable that Lowry attempted, what was it, like 20 field goal attempts in that
21.
Game? 21 yeah. Field goal attempts in 39 minutes. And the game before, it was 9 field goal attempts in 39 minutes. And you could tell that was probably part of it, was, hey, Kyle, you need to shoot, especially if Jimmy and Bam aren't there. And you mentioned this game where Giannis and Middleton and Jrue Holiday are all available. That's, you know, your closing lineup with two other guys if you're Milwaukee. For Miami, with all these injuries, they won this game closing with their, I guess, big three of Strus, Akpala, and Caleb Martin. It's definitely one of the best wins of the season for the Heat. And it's worth noting, like Giannis, you mentioned, maybe he's a little not right coming back from this injury. 15 points on 4 for 13 shooting. But the Heat have done the best job over the last couple of years of guarding Giannis consistently. Sure. And this is on a night when they don't have their best perimeter stopper in Jimmy Butler and maybe the best defender of Giannis in the league in Bam Adebayo. But PJ Tucker took that assignment. He went toe-to-toe with Giannis. He went one-on-one. He was calling off people for, like, screaming at KZ Akpala at times for coming on and helping and doubling Giannis. He's like, no, I got this. And he did. He had it.
So from one weird game to another, the Clippers get their second win in a row. And what I learned was their first win over the Boston Celtics in 3 years, which is just kind of wild to me, led by their rookie Brandon Boston with 27 points, 2 boards, and 4 steals, Wes, it looked like this might be a blowout early, but the Celtics really battled back.
Yeah, the Clippers were up by 21 points at one point, and then the Celtics climb all the way back, and they're doing it with Dennis Schroeder, Marcus Smart, Al Horford, like really good contributions. And I'd written in my notes, like this game, they had got it down to like a single digits with 4 or 5 minutes left, and I'm just like writing down my notes. This game is craving for Jason Tatum, just starving for Jason Tatum to take over, but he's not going to. He's deferring. And then what happens? He takes over in like the last minute and 3 seconds. He scores 8 points. He had that big offensive rebound and got into like that football physical kind of layup through traffic. And I actually thought that that was the kind of swing moment potentially in the game, because he gets that layup. It's back down to a single possession game. With plenty of time left, and Marcus Morris comes back down on the next Clippers possession, hits a huge corner three over Al Horford, contested three from the corner, just grabs momentum right back. The Clippers were up 6 with 43.5 seconds left. Some back and forth after that. The Clippers and the Celtics kind of go back and forth with the foul game and stuff, but without that Marcus Morris three, I think the Celtics might have won that game. It kind of felt like a game where the Clippers won because time expired.
Yeah, and Al Horford was right there, like right in Morris's grill. I mean, it's funny because that's a shot that Morris hit for the Celtics many times in his career. So it was just kind of interesting seeing him do that against the Celtics. Brandon Boston, who was in the G League just like a couple weeks ago, or maybe even a week ago, I think he had like 46 in a game in the G League. Great, they called him up, and he's been pretty good for them. And this was a guy, if you remember, was highly rated coming out of high school, thought to be a guy at Kentucky that could be a top 10 pick in the draft, did not have a good year at Kentucky. His stock fell. He was, I think, the 51st pick in the draft. He put up 27 tonight, looked comfortable. He did it in a variety of ways. He was 5 of 8 from three on multiple looks. Right. It was a really interesting night from a really young, like very interesting prospect that the Clippers really kind of picked up off the scrap heap.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy with a ton of talent. You mentioned he was the 7th rated recruit according to ESPN going into Kentucky, and for him, for a guy like that to fall to the second round, like that's rare. Even if you have a terrible year in college, I mean, there must have been some reports and stuff like this guy can't work hard or whatever it is. But the Clippers took a flyer on him without that big first half that he had. The Clippers don't win that game, but he wasn't in it to close the game. Ty Lue went with all the veterans, as you know he should. But they don't win that game without that Brandon Boston like cushion. You know what I mean? So, I think you get him. You have young guys like Terrence Mann off the bench. I mean, this is a game where Paul George wasn't available, and maybe if there's silver linings to playing without Kawhi, with Paul George missing games here and there, it's that you can have these sort of pockets in the season where you could develop these guys. And like we saw last year in the playoffs with the Clippers, like Terrence Mann was a really big contributor for them. I'm not sure that Brandon Boston is going to be that for them, but it's good to get these reps for him early now so that, you know, he can develop and maybe be that by the time the postseason rolls around.
Yeah. And Isaiah Hartenstein, great minutes off the bench for them too. Just kind of a stat sheet
for them kind of all year.
Yeah, he has. He's been really solid off the bench. Zubats too was awesome. I think he blocked Tatum 3 times at the rim. before Tatum really learned his lesson on how to attack him. It was just an impressive win. And this is just like another signature, like Ty Lue game. Like these are the kind of wins that Ty Lue helps you get because he puts his players in the best positions to win. And we saw it just all night tonight.
Yeah. If you don't respect Ty Lue by now, I just don't know what to tell you. I mean,
yeah. It's crazy. All right, let's run through the rest of the night because it was a doozy. The Blazers keep it close without Dame and CJ, but the Warriors prevail 104-94. Curry finishes with 22 points. He had 6 threes. That puts him 10 threes away from holding the record for made threes in NBA history. Wes, how many more games does he need?
I don't know. Maybe 2, but like, isn't it like bananas that we were talking? Guy was 16 threes away from breaking Ray Allen's record. We're like, yeah, maybe he'll do it in a game at home against. It's just the fact that we were even. I don't care that he even do it. The fact that we were even talking about it just speaks to how great this guy is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had it on. I had it on just watching. I had it on my laptop. I had the other game on my TV. I'm like, I have to keep an eye on it. The Sixers take care of the shorthanded Hornets 110-106, and Embiid finishes with 32-8-4. The Cavs absolutely pummel the Bulls 115-92. Darius Garland leads the way, 24 points, 6 assists, and Evan Mobley with 16 points, 9 boards, and 5 blocks. Wes, Bing Bong is now a sad song as the Knicks fall below 500 after a 20-point loss to the soon-to-be-blown-up Indiana Pacers, 122-102. Sabonis posts a double-double, 22 points, 11 boards, 5 assists. What do we do with this game? I don't know what to do with this one.
I have no idea either. It's just, it's not going well at MSG right now for the Knicks. I think that the Pacers reports that they're ready to blow it up. I don't think the Knicks are close to blowing it up, but to lose to a team that just reported, I don't know if that's bulletin board material for Indiana and they come out firing, but the Knicks got some things to work out, and it's not just putting Alec Burks in the starting lineup.
Yeah, no kidding. The Mavs snapped the Grizzlies' win streak, beating them 104-96. Luka with 26, Porzingis with 19 to lead the Mavs to victory. A strong second half propels the Jazz over the Timberwolves, 136-104. Donovan Mitchell really brings it tonight. He scored 36 points. The Kings put away the Magic, 142-130 in regulation. What is this, last year? And James Harden and the Durantless Nets lose to the Red Hot Rockets, who are 114-104. That's 7 in a row for the Rockets. I don't know what else. I don't know what to say about this Rockets team. I really don't get it. It's just wild.
No, it's all about Alperen Sengun. I don't even know what he had in this game, but he's just a winning player.
His 14 minutes really sealed the deal for the Rockets tonight.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, so all that aside, it's time for the mayhem portion of this podcast because the Thunder beat the Raptors 110-109. There's 9 seconds left in the game. Mike Muscala hits a three, which is just what Mike Muscala does. This is what his career is built on. He hit this three, put the Thunder up one. The Raptors get the ball. Fred VanVleet drives. They defend him really well. Darius Bazley skies. I think he gets a piece of it. And then Justin Champagne taps his ball in. And then the Raptors celebrate as if it counted. But did it count? No, did not count. It was just a smidge too late. OKC wins. The Wizards slow down the Pistons, 119-118 in overtime. Kyle Kuzma, with a dagger three in the corner, puts the Pistons away. He gets to wave goodbye to the poor Pistons fans who have had victory just snatched from them twice this week. And then the Nuggets and the Pelicans go to overtime. Nuggets squeak this one out. Jokic was absolutely insane. 39 points, 11 boards, and 11 assists. What an insane triple-double. And that's going to do it for today's Daily Ding. Point of contention is next, right here on the Athletic NBA Show. Wes, send us out.
Ding, ding.